Packer and Durham.
My thanks to Paris Ford, who's hard at work as we speak, who joined us in hour number one. But we do have some fun guests coming up here momentarily, Wes.
Absolutely. But we got a big announcement here at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock, and that is to tell you that on the week of July 20th, the ACC kickoff is going to be a virtual event, and it is going to be housed exclusively on ACC Network. So during that week, you'll be able to hear from all the coaches in the ACC, some of the great players in this conference, as well as the Commissioner John Swofford. And yes, it'll be available and information from other areas, but exclusive television coverage of the 2020 ACC kickoff will be right here on ACC Network, and we're excited to be part of it. And even though it's a little different this year, Mark, certainly help people get ready for football this fall.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the league was the last to announce that everything's going virtual. So that's the deal. I don't think it's surprising from that perspective, given the world that we're currently living in. But the coverage will still be great. You'll see your favorite players and coaches, and we'll dissect everything that you need to know about ACC football coming up the week of July 20th when we all get together virtually.
Yep, and looking forward to being back with a lot of our ACC football colleagues, Eric McClain and E.J. Manuel, Coach Rick, among others, and Mark Herzlick, who's joined us in the past, Roddy Jones, Eric Wood, all those guys. Really looking forward to breaking down the 2020 ACC football season, and we'll do a kickoff week, the week of July 20th. Details still to come, of course, on times and so forth here on ACC Network. But a special guest also awaits us here coming up.
Jordan Wara.
Jordan Wara on a tear.
Oh, is it falling in for Wara today? Wara for three. Yes!
Mr. Wara, who went off for 30.
He's 37 a lot.
37.
Oh, there's the play of the year so far.
Which we may see that on SportsCenter.
There you go. Jordan, how's that look, man? You love watching those highlights?
Yeah. It's nice looking back, for sure.
I know that it's one thing to look back. It's also another thing to look forward. And with that said, I know you've been working hard, but, man, like everything else, pro sports has been put upside down. The college world's upside down. That also includes the NBA draft. What's it been like going through the process?
The process has been, extremely weird, this year especially. A lot of Zoom calls we're doing, a lot of virtual stuff, and it's kind of slowed down now that they found out the draft's going to be pushed back to October. Things are kind of slowing down. Teams are kind of focusing on, return to play a little more. But, fortunately for me, I've been able to get into a gym multiple times a day, I'm able to work out. But, other than that, just talking to my agents and then, Zoom calls when necessary, really.
Jordan, how different was this? Because you put your name in the draft. I think everybody expected you to stay in the draft, which you have. But the reality of it is there was so much of an unknown here. Why was it right to go ahead and continue this, even though that unknown was going to be out there for everybody involved, not just exclusively to you?
I just feel like, it was my time, really. I feel like I got a lot accomplished in my time at Louisville. I feel like I've gotten a lot better. And, kind of regardless of the situation we're in or the times we're living in right now with everything that's going on, I feel like it was just best for me to kind of make that step. Obviously I had another year, but I think Coach Mack, the coaching staff really prepared me to kind of, take the jump now. So, it's just time to move forward.
Jordan, it's been interesting to listen to student athletes talk about a season ending before it really ends. And this is truly, we're talking about baseball or softball, basketball, whatever. And we've talked to coaches, we've talked to players. Obviously it was surreal for teams like Florida State and Clemson, and they're sitting there doing a warm-up drill at the ACC tournament, and next thing you know, boom, the season's done. What was it like with the abrupt ending to a season that had such promise that you could say, hey, you know what, if everything falls into place, we're going to Atlanta for the Final Four? What was that like?
Man, it was really heartbreaking, kind of, to say the least. obviously, yeah, Clemson and Florida State, you know, we were getting ready to play Syracuse that night too. So, you know, it was really heartbreaking for sure seeing it all come to an end so soon. Obviously, you know, we were watching the game the night they kind of, you know, canceled or postponed the NBA season. And once that happened, you know, we all kind of had a bad gut feeling. And, you know, from there, it just was downhill. They just canceled everything. And it hurts, you know, especially having a team like we did, you know, a team that had a chance to really do something special. It's something we can't get back now. So, you know, it sucks, you know, something that everybody went through, though. There's teams that already had, you know, a ticket punched into the tournament. So, you know, it really sucks for everybody. But all we can do now is move forward.
Jordan, you mentioned Coach Mack, and obviously you flourished in his system, and I know that player development is a big key to what he wants to do, not just for guys like you, but for everybody that now plays in the Louisville program. Can you speak to what playing for him has meant and where it's helped you get ready for the next level?
Yeah, you know, playing for him has meant, you know, a lot. You know, he's somebody who's put a lot of trust in me, and I put a ton of trust in him. He's helped me to a super high standard ever since he got the job at Louisville. And, you know, like I said, I tell everybody, you know, I wouldn't be the player I am today, you know, without him. He's given me opportunities that not a lot of other people would give me, or, you know, chances I didn't get necessarily my freshman year. So, you know, it's meant a lot. You know, he's a great guy to play for. He doesn't just do that for me. You know, everybody else on the team, you know, he's holding everybody accountable and just pushing us every day to get better. So, you know, I wouldn't want to play for anybody else.
Jordan, what kind of feedback did you get from NBA personnel and scouts about what you have to work on in the quote-unquote summer and off season before the draft?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing for me is probably, you know, not a lot of teams worry too much about kind of my offense. You know, a lot of stuff is really just, you know, being able to, you know, just continue to improve on the defensive end, and maybe improve my ball handling a little more. That'll help my, you know, overall offensive game. But just continuing to improve on the defensive end, and then, you know, tightening up my ball handling is kind of what they've been talking to me about. So
it's interesting because, you know, obviously you shot threes at Louisville and did it efficiently, but you also handled the ball pretty well too. It's interesting that they're talking to you about handling the ball, because I always thought you were pretty decent at that out in the open floor, at least, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm comfortable, and it's something I've gotten better with every year, just kind of expanding my game. But, you know, obviously there's still room for growth on that end. And, you know, if they're telling me that, then, you know, I have no choice but to get in the gym and work on it. So
when you go to work, go ahead, Wes.
Have you thought about who you want to play for? What teams are talking to you maybe more than others, if I can ask you that?
You know, I don't – whatever team wants me and whatever team wants me to play and will give me opportunity, I'll be happy to play for them. So, you know, I've talked to a lot of teams, you know, not necessarily any team more than others. You know, right now I think they're more talking to my agents. Once we get down – to really, you know, figuring out what all this draft stuff's going to be like, I'm sure it'll pick up. But right now, it's kind of slow. So that's as much as I know right now.
Jordan, I'm curious, when you mentioned the fact that you hear from NBA guys, you say, listen, you need to work on the defensive end. Given the pandemic, you mentioned the fact you found a gym to go work out in. Knowing that you've got to work on your defensive side of the ball, what do you do when you go to an empty gym to say, listen, if I got to work on defense, man, we could shoot 1,000 shots and all that stuff, but I got to work on the defensive side. What do you do in an empty gym to work on the defensive side?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of band work I can do just to get quicker. You know, we do a lot of stuff like that, a lot of slides. And then, you know, probably once or twice a week, you know, I'll have another guard, you know, coming to the gym with me. You know, we'll work out together, get some shots up, and then, you know, we'll just play ones, or we'll just have a day where kind of he's just, you know, going at me. And it's better having a smaller guard do it, just because, you know, those are tougher players to guard, you know, craftier and stuff like that. So, you know, usually I find a way to you know, work on it at least a few times a week.
All right, I'm going to ask you to here before we let you go, Jordan, to play you know, kind of, I'm an analyst here.
Right.
You know the team that Coach Mack's going to have next year. Mark and I both talked about Louisville is building for the future. You made the decision to go to the next level. What do you think that Louisville team will be like next year? I mean, David Johnson came on. He was remarkable as a freshman. Samuel Williamson had a really nice rookie campaign. You got important pieces coming back to that program.
Yeah, I think the team next year is going to be really, you know, special. I know how hard, you know, Coach Mack, Coach Murray, you know, all the coaches will push everybody. They're going to go hard in the way of Coach Kettler. I know there's going to be somebody, you know, obviously David, Sam, Malik, you know, the knowns on the team, really. But I'm really expecting, you know, there's going to be somebody that nobody's expecting to break out to. Just knowing how hard they work, how hard Coach Mack, you know, pushes them and is going to get them ready. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to have a special year for sure. But, you know, obviously there's the knowns. I'm sure there's going to be somebody who's going to break out and you know, help them a lot. And then they got, you know, the two kids, you know, grad transfers, you know, Carleek and Charles are going to do, they're going to help a lot too. So, you know, I'm just expecting a real special year. Hopefully they'll be able to pick up where we left off last year and get it done.
Before we go, I just want to follow up one more question with you, Jordan. You're going to be your own guy on the next level, but is there somebody currently in the NBA when you watch them play, you go, you know what? Kind of reminds me of my game.
You know, somebody I think that I could get to a level like that is probably like, I'd probably say like a Tobias Harris type player. You know, McDermott's another guy I look at that's kind of similar to how I play. And you know, obviously I'm hoping I can get a lot better once I get to the league, just continue to improve. But, you know, as of right now, those are kind of two guys I can kind of see myself being a little bit.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, listen, we wish you the best. We really do.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Jordan Wara, native of Buffalo, Louisville All-America, and best of luck at the next level. We look forward to following your progress. And, boy, your patience will pay off with the draft, not until October, as the way the schedule has changed. We appreciate the time. Stay well, my man.
For sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Jordan Wara, the University of Louisville. We're going to go from one guy who's starting his NBA career to a guy who's just wrapping up his NBA career. Pack coming up. This weekend, you want some Vince Carter? We got some Vince Carter for you on the ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, Nolan Smith coming up in 15 minutes. We look forward to that conversation. Jordan Wara, we wish him the very best. I know Louisville would love to have him for one more year, but we talked about timing an hour or so ago, Wes, when it comes to assistant coaches, yep, head coaches, and no matter what your job is, your description in life, I mean, it's all about timing. So for Jordan Wara, hopefully it all works out for him. A terrific player. It's been fun to watch him play. But it's also cool to hear a guy that's on the cusp of following his dream knows that he's got work to do, right? I mean, to hear him break down, hey, the defensive side, I got to pick some stuff up and all that stuff. Again, you know, God-given work, but, man, you still got to roll up your sleeves and go. It doesn't matter what you do for a living.
By the way, just to follow up here, are you in charge of the bumper music today? Because I heard Led Zeppelin coming back.
We've had a little AC/DC, some Led Zeppelin, some Stones. That's right down my alley, man. That's like I said, that's dog walking music. 3 a.m. Let's do it. Yeah. Like it.
Well, T-shirt Friday coming up tomorrow, by the way, on Packer and Durham.
First, I got to write that down. I had totally forgotten about that. T-shirt.
Yeah, you make Friday. Make sure you're ready for T-shirt Friday. And then make sure you're ready, by the way, for Vince Carter Saturday here on ACC Network. It's going to be awesome. You're going to get 12 hours of programming in Carolina games featuring Vince Carter in his 3-year history at Carolina. He had a great career, and the stories about Vince Carter are starting to leak out, and Dallin Cuff and Jordan Cornette are going to talk to Phil Ford. They're going to talk to Dick Vitale. His latest pro teammates, John Collins of Wake Forest, DeAndre Hunter of Virginia, going to join the guys at 11:30 on Saturday. And then the programming starts at noon and runs for 12 hours in the Vince Carter Marathon this weekend here on ACC Network. Now, you and I were talking during the break about a dunk we saw in a tease going to the commercial, and that was the dunk he had in the ACC tournament against Clemson in a ball game that Carolina ultimately lost. But that was off an inbounds pass, and it was just one of the more like, holy smokes, did he really kind of jump that high? I mean, it was one of the, he always kind of was like, you were like, there's no way he's that high, right?
The one you're talking about, it's not that one. It's, no, look at that move. He dunks it with his knees. He leaves it about midcourt and dunks it with his knees. But this guy is just a physical freak, man. You know, and I mentioned this the other day when we were kidding around about the Hornets not making the playoffs, and that include the Hawks, and Vince Carter's unbelievable NBA career comes to an end at 22 years. Just think about how incredible the athletes are in the NBA, right? I mean, you start talking about, hey, what's your shelf life as a professional athlete, whether we're talking NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, the WNBA, I don't care what you pick. When somebody plays in this day and age for 22 years, it's almost impossible to comprehend physically how gifted someone's got to be to play 22 years in a professional sport that you've got to be a dude, right? And I mean, what he did at North Carolina was ridiculous, awesome, sensational, because he was so spectacular with the ball in his hands and he could literally fly. But to do it at the ultimate level for that long is a testament to his greatness. And I'll tell you another thing. It's one thing to say, hey, here's what he did at North Carolina. Here's what he did in the NBA. I think he's fantastic on the air. I think he's going to be an incredible broadcaster from that standpoint. He's knowledgeable. He's precise. I love to listen to him and not to mention watch him play. And he's done it now for four decades. Truly one of the all-time special players.
Yeah, and so you'll get the Vince Carter games. We talk about that dunk against Clemson. One of the games they're going to show on Saturday is the Duke ball game in the Smith Center, where he missed a dunk where Ed Cota threw it to him off the glass. And it was immediately tagged maybe the greatest missed dunk in college basketball history. He always seemed to be around the rim when they played Wake Forest as well. The stories about Vince Carter are also starting to leak out a little bit, too, from his college days at Carolina, including one that Adamola Okalaja and Anton Jameson started to tell a few years ago, that in Vince Carter's time at Carolina, his favorite meal was Time Out, Pac.
Yeah.
And you know how good Time Out is.
Mm-hmm. We've proven that. Ask Roy Williams. He stole all our biscuits after we left. And Roy showed up with us after a whole thing of biscuits we showed up with. And I said, Coach, you can take a couple back to the office. And Roy Williams, without the beard, went, thank you very much, and took them all with him. Yeah. So, yeah, Time Out's spectacular.
Vince Carter's Carolina days, Brendan Marks writes about it in The Athletic, that Anton Jameson says the whole time he was at Carolina, all he did was eat Time Out chicken and biscuits. He'd go to Time Out all the time, even go to Time Out and get the chicken and biscuits with gravy on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then add the mac and cheese. Talk about eating right. What are we doing here, right?
You know, I've noticed already today the athletes that we've had on this program, I'm starting to feel better about myself. Paris, you know, my man Paris Ford comes on there talking about chicken and waffles. Now you're dropping all these Time Out biscuits with mac and cheese on the side. This is what I eat. This is how I keep this figure, for crying out loud. So I'm sensing there is a there may be some positive help for me based on what I've heard all the athletes swallowing whole today on the show. And by the way, I also heard that Bob Toski, at the age of 93, said Vince Carter's one of the greatest dunkers he's ever seen, Wes. We're tying it all together. Bob Toski, you brought him up.
Just stop.
He is 93 years old. 93.
Stop. Just don't even.
Bob Toski. What are we doing?
You just like the fact I brought Toski up. Stop it.
I was embarrassed to tell you that I didn't know if he was alive. And I'm glad to hear that he's 93 and still kicking. God bless him.
That's awesome. By the way, you can read more about Vince Carter's days at Carolina. It's a great story that Brendan Marks has penned for The Athletic, by the way. And it's pretty good leading into Saturday's marathon coverage of Vince Carter here on ACC Network. Now, Pac, you talked about the NBA and how the Hawks and your Hornets are not going to be eligible for the biodome, if you will, at Disney's Wide World of Sports. Have you seen, by the way, some of the rules and regulations that are going to be in play for the NBA teams?
Hey, I understand that everybody needs to stay healthy. I get it, right? Safety's one, healthy's one. We get all that stuff. When I saw this list, I really thought it was a joke. I thought it was something that I read in The Onion. Like, come on, man, what are we doing, right? So when we give you this list, this is actually legit. This is legit. Look at this. Look at number three. Number three is the one that comes right to me.
Each deck of cards is disposed of after use?
Come on.
I like no doubles ping pong. I like the no doubles ping pong.
I mean, this is legitimate. Now, we're not making, this is not one of a Q series.
No, this is in the document.
This is legit.
In the document.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
how about the anonymous hotline to report rules being broken?
Yeah. How do you think that's going to work out? Each deck of cards is disposed.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, no caddies, Pack.
Well, Wes, don't even get me started.
I've been playing golf, Pack. Let me tell you how that goes. It's not bad. You don't have to talk to anybody, be around anybody. You can have a foursome, and you can start down one side of the fairway. You get your own cart. I mean, it's not a bad way to play, to be honest with you. You're right. If you walk, it's beautiful.
Well, I'll take your word for that. By the way, if any of these guys in the NBA are into fly fishing, I brought this up to you the other day. You can't have a guide. You can't have somebody stand beside you tying the flies. Well, come on. I mean, I just think common sense is the deal here. I've said it from day one when this pandemic came full center and front and center for us in the middle of March. You just be smart. Be smart. But the NBA's gone, and hey, I hope it works out. Man, I'd hate to be on the other end of that hotline. Can you imagine answering some of those calls? Please.
All right. Don't forget, you can submit questions for the Packer and Durham video mailbag. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. We want the videos sent horizontal on Twitter. And we'll get to maybe one of your questions before we're done, if not more, maybe in tomorrow's show before we say goodbye on a Friday. We mentioned the Vince Carter Marathon, and it starts Saturday right here on ACC Network. Jordan Cornette, Dallin Cuff have the pre-show at 11:30, and then at noon, 12 hours of Vince Carter right here on ACC Network. Some fantastic Carolina games, some unbelievable memories of the former drum major from Daytona Beach and Mainland High School. How's that? Vince Carter. Sit tight. When we come back, we'll go Carolina to Duke. Pretty easy when you think about it. We'll talk to Nolan Smith, now on Mike Krzyzewski's staff, and one of the guys who has been at the forefront on the activism regarding racial equality in this country, and in particular in the Triangle, right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, 844-SAY-ACCN. Thanks to Paris Ford, Jordan Wara. We're not done. Coming up here momentarily, Nolan Smith will join us to talk about a number of pertinent issues. Mr. Durham.
And if you missed the top of the hour, the ACC announcing that their ACC kickoff will be a virtual event, and ACC Network will be the exclusive home of the event during the week of July the 20th. We're excited to be your home for the full preseason coverage of ACC football starting the week of July 20th right here on ACC Network and other platforms on the ESPN family of networks. Let's go live to Durham, shall we? By the way, best dressed on the Packer and Durham show this morning is Nolan Smith. I'm going to go ahead and ask this, number two. Packer wants to know if that's a double X and can he have it on the hoodie?
I don't. It's not a double X, but I might can work something out for him.
Man, that's sure. You can't buy that one, right? I mean, I'm assuming that you got to know somebody to have that one.
This is definitely a player exclusive.
Well,
you know what that means,
by the way,
Wes?
Nolan, hands that takes off. Packer out. Yeah, you're not getting one, Mark, because that's only for players. And I can promise you, of all the things you are not a player.
No.
So,
but I tell you what, though, I will say this. After my conversation with Paris Ford, that we're breaking bread with chicken and waffles, and you know what? We may be able to work out something, Nolan, because, you know, listen, the Blue Devils are in Charlotte all the time, and I know all the good places, so we might be able to work out some kind of an exchange there, my man.
Hey, if you show me some good food, we might work something out.
All right, there's a shot. There's a chance.
Good. I'm glad we got that. I'm glad we got that transaction worked out. Nolan, I thought, first of all, a couple things have come to mind here in recent weeks. Obviously, you have been at the front and understand, you know, what kind of period we're living in when it comes to, you know, Black Lives Matter and all the equality issues. And I also see it from two fronts. One, you're a guy that grew up in an environment that was different than anything, obviously, that Mark and I can relate to. But number two, you're around young people all the time, and you're not that far removed from being in their college demographic. Two-part here. One, why do you think college student-athletes in particular are so activated by this movement? And number two, what touched you about this?
Yeah, those are great questions. And first, I think young college black athletes are very motivated by this because it ultimately affects them in the long run. And the change that everyone is pushing for, the racism, systematic racism, social injustice, like, we all, as black men, black people, can feel for it. And then when you look at college sports and the demographic of college sports, and especially the main two sports being college football and college basketball, is predominantly black. So therefore, you're going to have athletes speaking up and speaking out because it definitely affects them. And for me, just to be able to be a community leader here in Durham and be vocal, and just to be able to see our guys like Wendell Moore out leading protests, it's inspiring to me to see our young guys using their voices and using their platforms to fix the world.
Nolan, it seems like this one though feels different, and I'm saying that now as a white guy. All right, it just seems like people are paying attention more so than ever before, which to me is fantastic. You mentioned, you know, being associated with so many young people that have taken ownership. Wes and I have talked about that ad nauseum. I was at Clemson Saturday, and to watch those four student athletes say, hey, we're going to make a difference, and to see the turnout, and it was peaceful, and the message was so powerful. It was still emotional. Every time I bring it up, I kind of tear up, not only because it's my alma mater, but just to see young people take ownership. Now, you're around them all the time, but why does this movement, this time, this moment, feel different than maybe years past, decades past, hundreds of years past?
Yeah, it's definitely different. And, you know, we looked at this virus, COVID-19, when it started, and we looked at it as a problem, an interference. It put all of our lives on hold. But now when you look at it, it's really given us a vision on so many different things in our own personal lives, work lives, as far as what we need to do individually. But then when it came to this, and when Ahmaud was hunted down and murdered, George Floyd, when all these things started happening, and, you know, when you're in the middle of you know, normal life, you kind of get distracted by sports and football and everything that's going on. Now it's giving us the perfect time to really see what's going on. And now people are actually sitting down and listening. They're watching the video. And I think that's really what's changed this time. It's not just a moment. It's became a movement. But in this movement, everyone is sitting down and listening and hearing stories and really getting a feel for what it is that we are saying and what we are going through and what have gone through for years and years and years. And, you know, it's amazing. Just, I was out the other night in Durham at a protest outside of the courtroom. And I said then the beautiful thing about it was that it wasn't just black people fighting. Like you're saying, everyone is listening. Everyone is opening up their hearts to what's going on. And that's amazing. That's really all, I think, black people from back in the days, that's really all everybody's ever wanted. So this movement is 100% different. And the key thing is going to be, how do we keep it going? You know, when the NBA returns, when college football and basketball, can we keep this energy going to change our communities, to change you know, change the world? You know, how can we continue to push for change?
You know, Nolan, the other part about this too, and we've talked to several people about it. In fact, we talked to Paris Ford about it in the first hour today, who plays football at Pittsburgh, who's from Pittsburgh. Student athletes on a higher level are number one being recognized, but number two, programs that are already on that level, what they're saying matters. And, you know, there's no brand in the college world bigger than Duke basketball. There are a lot of brands with it, but Duke basketball is right there. I mean, you know, you take Clemson football, Duke basketball. I mean, that's two of the biggest brands going. The comments of Coach K, the comments of people like yourself. You mentioned Wendell Moore. Jack White was obviously involved in some things there in the Duke, in the Durham area. What's Coach K talked to this team about? What have you guys talked about with him in terms of where this is going? Because you're right, there is some concern. I think the NBA guys have expressed it, that the momentum of the movement will slow once play resumes. But nobody wants to see that. Everybody wants to see it continue, I think.
I think so. Absolutely agree with you. Everybody definitely wants to see it continue to move in this direction that it's going. And as a program, we definitely understand our platform. We understand that we have a visibility of, A, the brotherhood and so many players that are active in our own communities. And we know that if we come together as a program, that our voices will be heard with, you know, with our social media following. What can we do with that? What can we do to promote consistent change and move in the right direction? And Coach K has been the leader. You know, when it first happened, you know, he sat and just said, I want to hear how y'all feel. I want to hear some of y'all stories because I can't put myself in y'all shoes. I never will and I never can say that. Oh, I understand. But he wanted to listen. And I think just with that, that was the start of many conversations that we've had as a brotherhood. And that's going to be the continued steps and finding action steps, finally taking action. You know, when we've seen all the statements by all these big universities, I think now it's like, okay, now what are you going to do following those statements? And that's what we're doing as a program is figuring that out.
No, that's exactly where I was going to follow up with. You know, it's great that everybody laid out a video or a statement, and that's all fine and good. I mean, everybody's against racism. Everybody. But the call to action is the most important thing. And that's why when I see Marvin Wilson and his teammates say, hey, coach, no, we need to talk. And they do. And they come together as a unit and are better for it, reaching a middle ground. When I see those four Clemson student athletes say, hey, listen, you know what? We can do more than just lay out a statement. And all of a sudden you see 3,000 people show up, all supportive, every shape, way, and form. The call to action is the key here. It really is. I mean, we can all sit there and go say, this is terrible. I can't even watch, you know, that situation in Minnesota just drives me in. Hey, nonsense. Watch it. Get mad. Open up. Figure out a way. What can I do? I don't care what your ethnicity is or how much money you got in the bank or good neighborhood, bad neighborhood. All of us need to look in the mirror and say, what can we do? What can we do? Yeah. And if you need to listen, then listen. But, you know, everybody's in a different spot, but we do need to come together. But the call to action to me is the single number one. If that happens, we won't have to worry about this just being a spike. And then once the season starts, we'll forget about it again. Hey, if everybody does their role and figures out a way to get better, you know what? Respect your fellow man. You can disagree. You and I can have a total disagreement to how you're not going to give me that sweatshirt. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm going to respect you. I'm going to respect you and say, you know what? Here's what we're going to do to work together to move forward to make this a better place. I just don't understand why people don't want this to be a better place. You know, that's one of those boundaries that I got to figure out too. As hey, how do I do that to make other people around me understand? Hey, working together, man, it makes life to be better. So I'm with you 100%. The call to action has got to happen. It's got to happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, Nolan, let's change gears here just for a second in our final few minutes, and that is we've spent a lot of time during the pandemic talking about what college football is going to look like. I saw a report this morning. That there's a possibility they may push the early signing back into January, I think is what I read about, to allow you guys to do some more in-person evaluating. This has been a summer and an off season. Normally I'd see you guys at, you know, tournaments around the country, looking at future recruits and that kind of thing. All that's gone by the boards. How difficult has that become? And really, how does a college basketball team go get better during a pandemic when you really haven't had any, you know, face to face contact with your guys?
Yeah, no, it's been a summer heading into the summer. It's been a long couple months of just adapting, and we've been doing that with Zoom, trying to figure out how to connect with our players, and also trying to figure out how not to tire them out. You know, we can't just continue to have Zoom meetings weekly every couple of days, because then, you know, Zooming can definitely get tired looking at a computer screen, because you don't get that physical touch. Face-to-face communication, like it's different. So trying to navigate that has definitely been a task. But if there's anybody that's going to navigate, you know, leadership and bringing a team together, it's Coach K. And I feel like we've just been trying to follow his lead and do the best that we can. But, you know, when we do get our guys to campus, it's going to be a lot of ground to make up as far as teaching. And, you know, we have a young team. We have a young team coming in with seven new guys, six freshmen, so it's gonna be an uphill battle, but we'll have to be ready to fight that, make changes, do a lot of team building activities to make sure we get it together quickly.
Nolan, before I let you go, I got to ask you this question. Before we brought you on, we did a whole segment on Vince Carter and an incredible 22-year career in the NBA, unbelievable dunk. So I'm gonna balance out this show with Duke and North Carolina dunks. Cassius Stanley was my favorite player in the league last year. I'm going to put you on the spot. And again, I know he's kind of moved forward and so forth. So, you know, between Vince and Cassius, I'm going to balance this out. Your favorite Cassius Stanley dunk last year was which one?
Now, wait, it could also be one you saw in practice. It doesn't have to be a game dunk. It could be something nobody else saw except you guys in practice.
Yeah, we definitely saw some amazing dunks. I thought you were going to compare Vince and Cash. I was going to say, I can't do that to Vince. That would be too disrespectful. Vince is the greatest dunker of all time, in my opinion. So I'm glad you didn't make me choose.
No.
But, favorite dunk, I think probably the Boston College lob.
Yeah.
I feel like that one, just in person, it's hard. So you're sitting there and you're in a suit, and the basketball player in me still just kind of like, wants to hop up. I'm just like grabbing my chair. I was like, oh, like he got so high for that lob. It was, I think that was my favorite.
Hey, Nolan, when you hop up a little bit, is that when the head man looks down at you like, hey, wait a second now, you're over here coaching?
he'll give a glance, and then Coach Shire and I normally are grabbing each other's suit pant. Like, oh, look.
I love
it.
Oh,
man.
Hey, keep an eye out of Double XL in that sweatshirt, man. That's one of the coolest ones I've ever seen from Duke. I'm telling you, that is strong.
Yes, really? Sir. Thank you.
Nolan, can you believe the way he comes on here and, like, begs for the gear? I mean,
No, I'm not begging. I've already told Nolan that there could be some type of transaction. It needs to be I just talked about race relations, right? A win-win proposition. We find middle ground that we can live in. You know what? If food's the thing it's going to go, then guess what? Nolan and I can work together. Working together.
I'm always down to negotiate. I'm with you.
That's
we don't
it.
Talk.
Yeah, I like it. I like the way we're rolling on this. We're making progress.
Hey, great to have you with us, my man. Take care. Always good to catch up, okay? We appreciate the time.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
You bet. Nolan Smith, one of the great players in Duke history, All-America, NBA player, and now doing a phenomenal job as his coaching career at his alma mater is underway as well. And I tell you what, a guy who's got a lot of good checks and balances packed about this movement because of not only where he's been, but what he's doing now and the relationship he has with young people.
He's talking it and walking it, and that's what we all need to do. And if you're not ready for that, then you need to listen and figure out a way that how can I be a part of this again? How do you make life better for everybody around you? And if you're in an uncomfortable conversation, that's a good thing. So I can't emphasize it enough. And again, after seeing what happened at Clemson last Saturday, it was, like I told you, I get emotional every time I talk about it because it was so moving to see every walk of life, every size, shape, form was there in support. It was peaceful. It was great. And the message was so strong. And that's happening all over the country. So Again, I think at the end of the day, we will all be better off. Again, if you participate, it's okay, man. Just try it. Just, if you're not comfortable, hey, just figure out a way to get involved. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yep. All right. Sit tight. When we come back, we got another quarantine confessional coming up. And I don't know if this is being done from Connecticut, because this cat spent a lot of time in South Carolina down around Bluffton here recently during the pandemic. I do know that is Kobe, a brand new dog for Jordan and Shay. We'll hear from Jordan Cornette when we come back on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Good guest today. All three of those gentlemen were very entertaining. Every one of them.
Yep. And you're kind of bumper music all day long.
Yeah, it's been good. Again, I've been up since 3 a.m. with the hounds, and that's what we're listening to, about 3:30, walking around the neighborhood. So, yeah, it's all good. Ready for a little chicken and waffles? About 6 minutes, we're ready to roll. Let's do it.
All right. Two important things coming up, including another question from the Packer and Durham mailbag, which is going to take on a personality of its own. I can see it coming. But first, today's quarantine confessional, Jordan Cornette.
Pack Durham, my guys, what's going on? So great to see you back on TV. It looks like somebody else is excited. This is Kobe right here. We got her during the quarantine, named her after the great legendary Kobe Bryant. We found out we're getting her the day he passed away. More about you in a second. Sit tight, girly. I want to start by apologizing to Wes. Sorry, Wes. No Chicago Blackhawks hockey sweater. It's 90 degrees out here in Connecticut. You know how I sweat. I'm sweating already. No way I can pull that one off. So during this quarantine, I've been getting into a lot of reading, trying to read some books, trying to sharpen my mind, also remaining optimistic. The change is on the way, and watching what our society is starting to do and which way it's headed is a beautiful thing. I've also found out that Katie George is terrible with flowers. I get developed a little bit of a green thumb. I guess I can say there's something I'm better than Katie George at. How many people can say that? Look right there. Those are my flower boxes. Those are snapdragons. Get you a little bit of class back in Durham. And these over here, these are pansies. Shay, right? Pansies?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my wife recording and making sure I don't mess up. And now for the grand finale. Kobe, let's show them what we've been doing during this quarantine. Sit, girl. Down. Down. Stay. Boom. Pack Durham. Love you guys.
Nice. Now, I thought Dallin Cuff's video yesterday was the best of the lot. No disrespect to the coveted invite or anybody else, but that was good. I liked it.
All right. Quick analysis here. The dog knew the treat was in his hand from the moment he started, because the dog was trying to climb up his waistline.
You know what? That comes from a cat owner that doesn't appreciate the importance and the intellectual capabilities of hounds. So your comment on dogs, I don't want to hear. That was an outstanding move. New dog tricks. You got to have the treats. Even I will just say one thing to Jordan, though. If it's over 90, I'll take your word for it. There's no reason not to. It's over 90. Go light clothing, right? It's hard to go dark when it's over 90 if you're a sweater. Just saying. But I thought that was an excellent, excellent video. Dallin was outstanding yesterday. I really enjoyed Cornette. That was really good. Liked it.
Well, and by the way, nice job by Shay on the filming of the quarantine confessional, because she did do it horizontally. That's correct.
Not vertical, horizontal. Not for vertical, everybody. This horizontal. This new mailbag thing we're doing here.
Let's go to Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, for our next video pack. Ian Poulter on the PGA Tour, receiving his COVID-19 test.
Oh.
Pack.
I've done it.
There we go.
10 seconds. Right there. I'm going to hold it there. I'm going to turn it. 3 more seconds. You're good.
Wes, I told you. Do I have enough time to tell this story? I'll make it quick. I had to take a COVID-19 test because I had a medical procedure and I need to go make sure I didn't have COVID. So they gave me directions where to go. It was one of those drive-through things. It was on a Saturday. I was supposed to be there at 10 a.m. I was running errands. I got there early. I'm in the middle of nowhere, Charlotte, North Carolina, in this vacant parking lot. There's a tent. It looks like the bearded lady must be inside. It had the flaps down. Nobody could get near it. I pull up. I get out. And the lady says, get back in your truck. 10 a.m. I said, yeah, I got a 10 a.m. It's 9:35. We'll get you in 20 minutes. Fine. I get back in the truck. I turn on the radio. I'm listening to ESPN radio. Sirius XM. So for 20 minutes, I wait. The flap finally opens up. I pull in the F-150. By now, there's like 50 cars behind me. I pull up, and it looks like everybody's walking on the moon. They've got the moon outfits on, everybody head to toe, gloves, mask. The whole thing. So I pull up in the Ford F-150. The lady must ask me 10 questions. Your full name, date of birth, name of your kids, everything. Name of your dogs, whatever. And I am under the impression to do the COVID test that they're going to take the swab and put it in my mouth and the saliva test and, hey, you're good to go. So that's what's in my mind as I pull in. They go through all the questions. The woman then says, all right, Mr. Packer, we're going to take this swab, and which is exactly what Ian Poulter had. And I said, no problem. So I put my hands on the steering wheel thinking that they're going to put it in my mouth. And I put my head back and like I'm at the dentist's office. And the woman says, excuse me, Mr. Packer. No. We're going to take this swab and we're going to stick this in your nostril. And you're going to feel some burning sensation and then we're going to twist it. And I'm thinking, excuse me? It's 10 a.m. I don't need this aggravation. So I put my hands on the wheel and what you just watched, she sticks it up there. And it was like taking a Q-tip and sticking it in St. Elmo's cocktail sauce in Indianapolis and sticking it up your nose to the back of your skull, and it burned, and then the twist, and then they yank it out, and she goes, okay, you're free to go. She goes, now, you may tear up a little bit. Wes, I didn't go 15 feet, and I started to cry like I just watched Old Yeller for the first time. And I went down the road about a half mile, had to pull off the center, and I cried for 15 minutes. So just beware. So when I saw Ian Poulter there, I was like, yeah, I can feel your pain, my man. That's all
tomorrow
I got.
Tomorrow on this show, Dallin Cuff, Michaela Boykin of Duke Women's Basketball, and T-Shirt Friday and more video mailbag on Packer and Durham. We'll see you tomorrow.
Packer and Durham.